When I finished up the song, it was pretty good, didn't you think? I saw her looking down at me with an odd little half-smile on her mouth. What do you think of that, Miss Kemper?
Well, it means you are perfect.
Right, me too.
She fluffed at her hair. I can hardly believe that my little wink can have such an effect on a big old hairy thing like you.
Yes, right. It's kind of amazing.
And you say you're rich, huh?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Fabulously rich. I hardly know what to do with all my fortune. Her brows twitched.
I hope I can tell. I wonder if you could hop real fast here in my...
You wouldn't think me too bold or brazen? She fluttered her eyes.
I'll try to keep an open mind.
I went into a deep crouch, went flying over the tailgate, and landed right beside her. She studied me with hooded eyes.
Well, here you are.
Yes, ma'am, here I am.
That rhymes, doesn't it?
It sure does. I hadn't thought of that. A heavy silence moved in between us. My, this is fun, isn't it? I began to feel uncomfortable. I wonder what this weather's going to do.
I have a feeling that a storm is fixing to hit.
Oh, really? I didn't know you... It was then that I saw the storm she had mentioned. It wasn't a cloud, as you might have thought, but rather the furrowed, angry face of her master, whose name was Baxter. Apparently, he and Jimmy Joe Dogcatcher had finished their conversation about fishing and were ready to leave. He had a big black mustache and beady little eyes. Baxter did. And he was glaring at me.
Get out of my pickup, you potlicker.
I heard my claws scratching the bed of the pickup, and I went sailing over the tailgate. I landed in a heap in the ditch. It was a little embarrassing, to tell you the truth, but hey, that guy had caught me by surprise, and I saw her looking back at me as the pickup pulled away. Her eyes were filled with sadness and adoration, and I knew that her heart was about to break. Goodbye, Miss Scamper. We had our precious moments together, and now we must part. Until our hearts are reunited, you must try to be brave. Her eyes seemed to roll upward, and I heard her exclaim in a voice filled with sadness and adoration,
"Oh, brother.
Ah, what sweet words. I would carry them with me forever and ever, or at least for a little while." Anyways, she vanished into the sunset, sunrise, over the next hill, and I was left with a huge hole where my heart used to be. Jimmy Joe Dogcatcher had fired up his pickup and was pulling away, heading west towards the lake. I saw Ralph's head hanging over the tailgate. I turned on a burst of speed and caught up. Did you see that, Ralph?
Yep.
That's how you charm the ladies. The tricks softened her up and the song finished her off.
She looked kind of bored to me.
Bored? You don't understand the ladies, Ralph. They try to hide their emotions.
Well, she done that all right.
But in fact, she fell madly in love with me. And I would bet that, at this very moment, and even as we speak, she's crying her eyes out.
I'll bet she's fixing her hair.
Exactly. And learning to cope with her broken heart.
Oh, brother.
What? I'm falling behind, Ralph. I guess I'll have to sign off. Goodbye, old friend. My old prison buddy.
See you around, Harry.
It's Hank. Hank the cow dog. Come back again sometime, and I'll give you some more tips on charming the gals.
Or whatever.
Goodbye.
So long.
I slowed to a walk and watched him pull away. It was kind of a touching moment, saying goodbye to an old prison. He fell out. The driver swerved to miss a chug hole in the road, and Ralph fell out of the back and landed in the ditch. His ears flew in all directions, and he rolled all the way out into the horse pasture. And there he lay, motionless. Fearing the worst, I rushed to his side. "Ralph, speak to me. It's your old prison buddy, Hank the Cow Dog. You've just been involved in a serious accident. I think you're going to be okay, but you need to speak to me. Say something. Ralph!" Nothing. He didn't speak or move. I began pacing. "Ralph, I'm feeling personally responsible for this. If I hadn't tried to carry on a conversation with you while the pickup was moving, this never would have happened. I feel terrible about it. So, would you please wake up? If you won't wake up for yourself, wake up for me. Think of somebody besides yourself for a change. What am I supposed to do now? I mean, I can't just walk away and leave you out here all alone in the pasture. I could never forgive myself. But the other side of that, Ralph, is that I'm a very busy dog. I've got a ranch to run. And by the way, it just occurs to me that my bone fortune needs to be checked. You see, we've had reports of a bone monster on the ranch." I gazed down at him. He still hadn't moved. I lowered my right ear to his nose and listened. Yes, he was breathing. I sat down and began what I feared would be a long vigil. I sat down and waited for something to happen. Nothing happened. The minutes crawled by. I hate waiting. It drives me nuts. I was just about at the end of my rope of patience when, suddenly and all at once, my ears picked up the sounds of flapping wings. I turned to the left and saw two big black airplanes coming in for a landing. Good grief, they must have been enemy bombers diving down for low level... Okay, relax. They weren't enemy bombers. They were buzzards. Two of them. First one touched down, rose again, touched down again with a thud, did three forward rolls, and got up running. He came straight over to me and my injured companion. He was dragging his wings and yelling, "Get back! Step aside! Make way for emergency airborne medical services!" The second buzzard crash-landed several feet away and rolled into a cactus patch. The sight of these two crazed birds dropping out of the sky left me speechless. The first one came right up to my face. And let me tell you, fellers, that was one of the ugliest things I'd seen in a long time. And he was yelling again. "I'm Dr. Buzzard, Emergency Airborne Medical Services. We've been called to the scene of a wreck. Where's the victim?" I pointed to Ralph. "That's him on the ground. His name is Ralph." "Son, we don't care what his name is. The boy's been hurt, and that's why we're here. Junior, bring me my bag and hurry, first chance you get." Okay, it was Wallace and Junior, but I'd never known them to do anything like this before. It appeared that they had come to, well, help, if you can believe that. It seemed a little out of character, but we did need help, so Junior came limping up.
We didn't bring a bag, Pa.
He saw me there and waved his hand.
Oh, hi, doggy.
"How's it going, Junior?"
Oh, busy. We're working wrecks today.
"Yes, I see that. Is this something new for you guys?"
Oh, well, Pa just thought we'd...
Wallace's head flew up.
"Son, quit talking with the customers and give me a hand. Where's my bag?"
We don't have a bag, Pa, and it never did.
"Fine. I don't need a bag. What matters is all this knowledge inside our heads. Get yourself in here and check this dog's vital signposts. We ain't got a minute to spare."
"Pa?"
"What?"
I landed in a cactus bush.
"And did you get spines and needles in your hide?"
Yep, I did, and they sure hurt.
Wallace puffed himself up to his full height.
"Son, haven't I warned you about driving too fast? speed kills, Junior. And the speedier you drive, the killier you get. And one of these days you'll wake up dead is what's liable to happen.
Yeah, but...
And, son, it serves you right crashing into a cactus bush, and maybe that'll teach you to slow that thing down. Now get in here and take his vital signpost.
The two of them hovered over Ralph's Potsrake farm. I watched, hoping for the best.
Okay, Junior, how about his hoof beat?
You mean his heart beat?
Whatever. Give me something and hurry. Supper's awaiting.
Well, I can't feel much through my feathers.
In other words, he ain't got a heartbeat. How about breathing? Is he breathing?
Well...
Snake eyes on that too, huh? How about blood pressure?
Well, if his heart ain't beating, then he can't have a...
I read the book too, Junior, so you don't need to be showing off like you're an I don't know what, because you ain't.
There was a moment of silence. Then Wallace's head came up.
Boys, I'm afraid we've lost him.
Those words went through me like a duck out of water. Ralph and I had gone down many happy trails together, but now the tragic expression that had etched itself on Wallace's ugly face suddenly vanished. All at once, he didn't look sad at all.
And now, Pooch, it's time for you to run along. Me and Junior will take care of all the arrangements. Wait a minute, hold on. Since when were you involved in emergency medical work? Since I started chasing Rex is since when, if it's any of your business, which it ain't. Now run along home.
I gave him a stern glare. I don't think so, Wallace. If you're a doctor, my name's Lulu.
Then your name's Lulu, because I got my doctor's license from the Buzzard School of Medicine and Mortuary. We save the ones that can be saved and recycle the rest.
I was about to go to sterner measures when Junior said,
Pa, I think he's waking up.
Wallace spun his head around to Junior.
Who's waking up? Where's he at? What are you trying to say?
He pointed a wing at Ralph.
The victim. Our patient.
Son, I've already told you. He's gone. We lost him. It's a terrible tragedy, but he didn't die in vain. We ain't had but rabbit scraps and three.
Just then, old Ralph sat up and blinked his eyes. His gaze went from one buzzard to the other. He swallowed hard.
Well, Ma always said I'd end up here if I didn't change my ways, and here I am. Darn.
Wallace shrank back as though he'd seen a ghost, but it didn't take him long to recover.
There! You see that, Pooch? Emergency Airborne Medical has saved another life. Yes, we have, and you had the gall and the nerve to... Junior, we have done our job, and we can be proud, very proud of our selfless devotion to duty. But life goes on, and so does the rent on this stomach of mine. Let's get back in the sky and find us a better wreck somewheres else.
I couldn't help chuckling. See you around, Dr. Buzzard.
You better believe it's Dr. Buzzard, and don't you forget who saved that friend of yours and snatched him back from the very edge of the grave, and your name is Lulu. So there!
They taxied into the breeze and began flapping their wings and rose into the sky.
Pa, I've got a cactus in my armpit.
Son, buzzards ain't got armpits because we ain't got arms.
Well, okay, then my wing pit.
Son, I told you and told you. If you don't slow that thing down and stop driving like 33 drunk monkeys.
I didn't hear the rest of the sermon, which was just fine. There's very little a buzzard has to say that I need to hear. I turned my attention to Ralph, who was staring at me with glazed eyeballs.
Where am I? How many fingers am I holding up? Who's on first?
Take it easy, pal. You had a serious accident, but you're gonna be all right. Do you remember who you are?
Sure. I'm Chucky Chipmunk, and Miss Scamper's in love with me. And your name's Lulu. And I just bailed out of an airplane, but my parachute didn't open.
Listen to me. Your name's Dogtown Ralph. You fell out of the back of a pickup and landed on your head. You're suffering from a medical condition called milk of amnesia. It will pass, so don't panic.
I'm Chucky Chipmunk.
Fine, you're Chucky Chipmunk.
I'm a big chipmunk, aren't I, Lulu?
Yes, you're one of the biggest chipmunks in the world.
You reckon I could get a job in the circus?
Sure. There happens to be a circus right over there. I pointed towards branch headquarters. Let's hike over and see if they're hiring overgrown chipmunks. This conversation was kind of crazy, but I had decided to play along with him until his head cleared. We started walking. I noticed that Ralph had a hitch in his get-along, but that was no surprise. He had taken a pretty nasty fall. He broke the silence.
You reckon they'll have elephants in the circus?
Oh, sure. I'll introduce you to one.
Oh, good. When I was little, I wanted to be an elephant.
No kidding. What stopped you?
Well, I was already a chipmunk, and once you're a chipmunk, you can never be an elephant.
Of course, I should have known. But tell me this, Ralph.
Chucky. Chucky Chipmunk.
Sorry. Tell me this, Chucky. You mentioned Miss Scamper. Is she a chipmunk, too?
No. She's a beaver. Only she was wearing a dog suit to disguise herself. Pretty smart, huh?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Was there a pattern here? If so, I couldn't find it. It appeared to me that Ralph had lost his marbles. I just hoped he would find them again. One weird dog on the ranch was about all I could stand. I'm speaking of Drover, of course. We made it into headquarters, and I led him over to the storage tank, next to which we had a pan of fresh water. I told him to drink. He did. When he was done, he ran his tongue over his lips to sop up the drip. He was quite a drippy drinker. I had picked up that clue right away. Well, Chucky, how are you feeling now? He glanced around.
Who you talking to? My name's Ralph, Dogtown Ralph, and I'm supposed to be fishing with Jimmy Joe.
It appeared that the water had cleared his head. Did I dare try to explain the business about Chucky Chipmunk? I decided to skip it. It was getting along towards sunset, and I had things to do. I suggested that he stay the night at our place and strike out in the morning to find his master. We had plenty of room under the gas tanks, and he could share my gunny sack. Or Drover's. Yes, we had plenty of room, and he could certainly share Drover's gunny sack. Come on, Ralph. I've got some very important business to take care of before dark, and you might as well tag along. He followed me down the hill, past the old cellar, past the overflow of the septic tank, through that grove of big elm trees, and to the gate of Sally Mae's garden. Here we stopped and glanced around in all directions to see if we had been followed. Everything looked normal, but just to be on the safe side, I lowered my voice to a whisper. Ralph, you may not realize it, but on the other side of that fence lies a fortune in buried bones. His ears jumped and he licked his chops.
I sure love bones, especially ones that have been aged.
Yeah, well, we need to talk about that, Ralph. Since you're here as a guest, I don't mind giving you a peek at the bones, but only if you swear never to reveal the secret. Do you solemnly swear? He did. Good. Now, the next challenge, Ralph, is that we have to scale this hogwire fence. Watch me, and then we'll give you a shot at it. Here I go. I made a giant leap upward, hooked my front paws over the top wire, dragged and heaved the rest of my body over the top, and tumbled over the other side. Ralph watched this with his big basset eyes, then gave his head a shake.
Can't do it. I think I'll just use the gate.
I laughed at his ridiculous statement and... watched as he nosed the gate open with his... well, with his nose, of course, and came padding into the garden. I beamed a glare at him. For your information, this is a secured area, and that gate wasn't supposed to be unlatched.
But it was.
I made a mental note of this clue, little realizing that it would soon become a very important detail. I glanced over both shoulders, just to be sure we hadn't been followed, then made a dash to the northeast corner of the garden. There, I began a furious digging process to unearth the first of my precious bones. I dug so hard and so fast, I didn't realize that I was spraying Ralph with dirt.
Reckon you could point that dirt somewhere else?
No, but you can always move.
Too much trouble.
Fine. Sit there and eat dirt. I'll be finished in just a second. At that very moment, my claws scraped against something solid. Aha! Here we are! Wait until you see this bone, Ralph. You'll be... I stared at the object I had just unearthed with my furious digging. It wasn't a precious T-bone. It was a... You won't believe what it was, so I won't even bother to tell you. My heart sank. I couldn't believe this was happening to me. I went plunging across the garden to the northwest corner and began digging in location two. I already had begun to suspect what I would find there, but I had to know for sure. I was right. Little needles of fear moved down my spine. I found myself noticing every shadow and every sound around me, and also that darkness was falling fast. My body wanted to run away and leave this place, but my mind prevailed. I had to know what lay in that third hole. I swallowed my fear, my growing sense of dread, and ran to location number three. I dug with the energy of a maniac until at last I heard my paws make that familiar sound. I gazed into the hole. My bone was gone. And in its place I saw... I turned to Ralph. Ralph, I don't want to alarm you, but we've got a bone monster running loose on this ranch. My guess is that he's watching us at this very moment. On the count of three, we will run for our lives. One! Ralph was already gone. He didn't wait for two or three. And you know what? Neither did I. I mean, if a guy's life is in danger, if he's being watched by a horrible red-eyed, night-stalking bone monster, why should he stick around for the full count? We didn't. Fellers, we went into rocket dog mode and got ourselves out of that creepy place. I never would have dreamed that Ralph could run so fast on those stubby legs of his. He was picking them up and laying them down. We went streaking to the gas. Drover had been sleeping, but his head came up as he heard the roar of our rocket engines and the screech of our brakes. His ears were crooked and his eyes were crooked.
Merck, snork, snickle, friend. Who's that?
I was panting for breath. Drover, this is Dog Pound Ralph. Ralph, meet Drover, my assistant. They exchanged nods while I caught my breath. Drover, I'm afraid we're in for one of the longest and scariest nights of our lives. His face wilted.
I don't think I want to hear this.
I'm sorry, son, but it's my duty to tell you the facts.
I hate facts, especially scary ones. Oh, Hank, don't tell me that it's the Bone Monster.
I stared at the runner. How did you know? Did you see him, too?
Well,
that makes two of us who've caught a glimpse of him. How about you, Ralph? Did you see him, too?
Well, I saw something.
There you are. That makes three out of three. We all saw the Bone Monster, so there's no question that he's on the loose, out there somewhere in the black darkness of night. Suddenly, I heard an odd sound. Then I realized that it was coming from Drover. His teeth were chattering. Drover, do something about your teeth.
I can't take them out. What should I do?
I don't know, but stop clicking them. I began pacing back and forth in front of my troops. All right, men. I feel it's my duty to give you all the information in this case.
Oh, I don't think I can stand it.
Hush. As you already know, the Bone Monster entered our garden vault and stole all three of our bones. Drover stared at me with empty eyes.
Garden vault? What? I think I missed something.
Exactly, which is why you should pay attention once in a while. But the crucial fact here is that after stealing our bones, the Bone Monster left something in the holes.
You mean?
Exactly. He stole the bones and left a carbolic object in their place. Bone Monsters always do that. It's part of their routine, their pattern. There was a long, throbbing silence. Then Drover said,
Gosh, I wonder what he left.
I stopped pacing and whirled around. I'll tell you what he left, Drover. In each of the holes, he left a Vienna sausage can. Do you see what this means?
Not really.
It's very simple if you understand the mind of criminals and monsters. They take something of great value, a bone, for example, and leave something that contains a secret-coded carbolic message. Ralph, would you care to guess the secret carbolic message in an empty Vienna sausage can?
Well, let me think.
I waited. Time was slipping away.
I'm sorry, Ralph, but we're out of time. The secret carbolic message is...
My eyes flicked back and forth from one terrified face to the other. The secret message is that the Bone Monster intends to make sausage out of us. Drover keeled over.
Oh, my gosh! I'm too young to be a sausage, and this old leg is killing me!
Get up, Drover. This is no time to show your true colors. It happens that I have a plan. We'll make our stand here at the gas tanks. We'll need someone to stand guard. I'm looking for a volunteer. No pause went up. So I turned to Ralph. How about it, Ralph? You've had valuable experience as a jailbird. You just might be the right dog for this job.
I don't think so. We don't have monsters at the dog pound. And besides, my legs are so short, I'm kind of nearsighted.
I hadn't thought of that. How many fingers am I holding up? He squinted at me.
Let's see. 15?
I turned to Drover. Ralph's out. I guess it's down to you and me. Or, to put it another way, Drover, congratulations. You get the job.
Yeah, but I saw 15 fingers, too. My eyes are terrible.
They'll get better with practice. And this old leg of mine... Never mind the leg, Drover. You'll take the first watch. Ralph and I will go into bunker position. If you see anything suspicious, you can give us a call. Drover whimpered and cried, but I ignored him. By the time Ralph and I entered the fortified bunker, darkness had fallen over the ranch. Oh, and in case you're not familiar with fortified bunkers, let me describe this one. It consisted of one gunny sack. To enter the bunker, we eased our heads beneath the sack. You may not believe this, but that layer of gunny sack material provides excellent protection against, incoming mortar shells, laser beams, you name it. It also has the extra benefit of shutting out a world that has become... How can we put this? If a guy needs a break from the rigors of... He can find peace and quiet beneath a gunny sack, is the point. I know, Drover often uses this technique to flee from reality, but that's a different deal. Anyway, Ralph and I entered the fortified bunker. He broke the long silence.
You reckon the monster will come back?
We don't have an answer to that, Ralph.
I wish I was fishing with Jimmy Joe.
Get some sleep, Ralph. This may be a long night.
I wish I was back at the dog pound. I wish...
Just then, Drover called in his first report.
Hank, I see something out there.
Ralph and I froze. Perhaps we exchanged worried glances. It was hard to tell in the darkness of the bunker. I decided to break radio silence.
Blue Moon, this is Dishpan. Go ahead.
I was calling for Hank. I must have got the wrong number.
This is me, you drip. But I'm running under the code name Dishpan. Your code name is Blue Moon. Go ahead, Blue Moon. What do you see?
Well, I'm not sure, but it moved.
Roger, Blue Moon. Keep your eye on it and let us know what happens. Over.
There was a minute or two of eerie silence. Then...
Blue Dish, this is Moonbeam. It's still out there, and it's still moving.
Roger, Blue Moon. Can you identify that odd noise we're picking up?
It's my teeth again.
Roger, Blue Moon. We'd better go to Silent Teeth. Can you give us a description? Over.
Well, they're long and white and smooth.
What are you describing, Blue Moon?
My teeth, and I can't keep them still.
Blue Roger, Moonshine, but we need a description of the moving object. Over.
Oh, well, let's see here. Oh, my gosh!
What is it, Blue Moon? Report at once. Over.
It's a... He's... Oh, my gosh! Dish Rag, this is Blue Cheese, and it's a... It's a red, hairy gorilla with three yellow eyes and huge claws and long, bloody teeth, and he's 7 feet tall, and he's crushing bones in his mouth!
That last part sent a jolt of electricity out to the end of my tail. I tried to remain calm, but it wasn't easy.
Holy cats, Drover. You've just described a bone monster.
I was afraid of that. What should I do?
Hang on, Cheeseball. Give us a minute to think.
I sent an urgent message to Data Control. Data Control sent back meaningless signals. We were on our own now.
Swiss Cheese, this is Grease Rag. What's the situation now?
I want to go home.
What's the bone monster doing? Over.
Well, let me see. He's... Oh, my gosh, he's coming this way, and he's grinding his teeth together, and he just said he wants to eat a cow dog.
Yikes. I switched off the radio and turned to Ralph. Ralph, are you there?
Uh-huh. And if I ever get out of here alive, I ain't ever leaving the dog pound again.
How fast can you run?
Well, usually not too fast, but I think I can feel a burst of energy coming on.
Good. We're surrounded. We've got to make a run for it.
Cover, we're coming out.
Are you talking to me?
Of course I'm talking to you.
I thought I was Cheeseball. I'm all confused.
Cover, do you want to be confused or do you want to run for your life? You can't do both.
I'll take number two.
Fine. Then quit squeaking nonsense. We're coming out.
We came flying out of the bunker. My eyes probed the darkness around us.
Where is he, Drover? Give me exact coordinates.
Well, first he was over there, and then he moved over here.
Is that longitude or latitude?
I think so. Anyway, he was ugly and huge.
Got it.
I faced my little band of troopers. Okay, men, we've got to bust out of here. It's our only chance. We'll make a run for the yard gate, regroup there, and scale the fence.
I ate a fish scale once. Couldn't swallow for a whole day.
Exactly.
So, on this mission, we must avoid all fish and swallows. Are we ready to move out? Let's make a run for it. And don't speak to any strangers. Good luck, men! And with that, we ran for our lives. We fought our way up the hill. Boy, what a scary deal it was. See, our intelligence reports had spoken of only one phone monster out there, but by the time we reached the yard gates, I was pretty sure that we had encountered more than one. Several. Dozens of phone monsters, each one bigger and meaner and uglier than the first one. Pretty scary, huh? You bet it was. Well, our squad had been encircled and entrapped by a whole battalion of phone monsters. They were everywhere. I mean, in the darkness up ahead, I could see their yellow neon lights flickering on and off. And you probably think they were fireflies, but they weren't. I know a firefly when I see one. These were the murderous yellow eyes of a whole bunch of phone monsters. 10 feet out, I knew we were in big trouble. We would have to fight for every step, every inch of ground. Okay, men, I had hoped that we could make this a silent run, but they've got us surrounded and outnumbered. When I give the word, we'll go into heavy-duty barking.
What's the word?
The word, Drover, is bark. What else would it be?
Well, I don't know. Blue cheese or hamburger bun or lettuce leaf. You use all these codes and sometimes I don't know what's going on.
Yes, but what's more important is that they don't know what's going on. It's all part of a grand strategy, and you don't need to worry about it. Just bark, he barked. Not yet, you moron. You'll give away our location.
I can have it. I want to go home, and this leg is killing me.
Okay, men. Ready on the left? Ready on the right? Commence heavy-duty barking. Give them the full load, and don't hold anything back. With a withering barrage of barking. Boy, you should have heard us. I was especially impressed with Ralph's work. He was a hound dog, you know, and hounds have always been good barkers. His was a deep woof, woof, which added some force to Drover's yips and squeaks. And then, of course, I weighed in with my deepest and most threatening bark, which is probably what saved us. We ran a few steps, stopped and barked back the waves of attacking bone monsters, and then ran a few steps more. It was brutal. At last, we made it to the yard gate. We had fought and clawed our way through the enemy lines, through wave after wave of suicidal bone monster attacks, and somehow we had made it. I was proud of my guys. You never really know what a dog is made of until he... The back door was opening. Thank goodness. We'd awakened the house and someone was coming to our rescue. I heard a voice in the darkness. It was Loafers.
If you idiots wake me up one more time, you're gonna be eating buckshot.
No.
Do you hear me, Hank?
Yes, sir.
Now shut up your barking.
Yes, sir. I knew from past experience that Loper wasn't a totally rational person in the middle of the night. There were many things he didn't understand about security work, and I could only hope that come morning he would see the error of his ways. And yes, I understood the message about buckshot and knew that he wasn't kidding. The door slammed shut and the lights went out in the house. I turned to my companions. Nice work, men, but we're not quite finished. Our final objective is to capture and defend the back porch. Any questions? Ralph raised his paw.
I can't climb this fence. Legs are too short.
In that case, Ralph, go down fighting and take a few monsters with you. It's been a real pleasure knowing you. His ears jumped.
Last one to the porch is a rotten egg.
And then, before our very eyes, he climbed over the fence. It wasn't very graceful, but he got her done. Drover went over next while I covered the rear, and then I went soaring over the fence like a deer. That rhymes, doesn't it? Rear and deer.
And it also reminded me of the lovely Miss Scamper and the many perfumed hours we had spent together, reciting poetry, singing songs, staring into each other's eyes. What a gal. And she was madly in love with me. By the time I reached the porch, Drover and Ralph had already set up the back door security formation, and they had done it on their own without any prompting from me. I was proud of them. My guys were really coming through in the crutch. Oh, and in case you're not familiar with BDSF, here's a quick outline of the procedure. It calls for the dogs to sit down on the porch and press their backs as tightly against the door as possible. This not only stops all traffic in and out of the door, but it keeps the house from moving around. It also makes us feel that we're almost inside the house, which is pretty important on scary nights. I took my place in the BDSF pattern. Well, guys, we made it. Nice going. We won't get any sleep tonight, but at least my ears pick up the sounds of their snoring. Ralph? Drover? They were both sound asleep. Sitting up, mind you. Well, that was okay. They had fought a brave fight, and as their commanding officer, I didn't mind taking the entire night watch my snark. I was wide awake by then, and Snickle Fritz, Pork Chop Murgle. Perhaps I dozed, but not for long. The next thing I knew, it was Daily Broadlight. A crazy person was standing on the other side of the screen door, pomping on us with the door and screaming incoherent messages about something.
Will you get off my porch and let me out of my house? And what are you doing in my yard?
Huh? My eyelids lifted. My eyeballs rolled around three times in their sprockets, then focused on a certain cat-like figure sitting in the iris patch. It was a cat. It was Pete. He appeared to be bathing his left hind leg with a pink tongue, and he was grinning.
Hi, Hanky. Walk in your sleep last night,
I beamed him a look of cold as steel. No, I didn't walk in my sleep last night. For your information, Kitty, my men and I... Where were they? Ralph and Drover had vanished. I was alone on the porch, and that same crazy person was still whamming me with the... Okay, it was Sally Mae. I whapped my tail on the porch and gave her my warmest, most sincere good morning smile, and if I moved off the porch, maybe she would stop hammering me with the screen door. I moved. She came out, placed her hands on her hips, and leaned over until her nose and my nose were only inches apart. I wondered if a nice, juicy lick on the nose would heal this latest wound in our relationship, so to speak. I decided to save the lick for another time. Our eyes met.
You barked all night long.
Yes, but I could explain.
You woke up everyone in the house.
There were these bone monsters, see? These dreadful, horrible bone monsters. And Grover and Ralph and I were just minding our own business. And where were those two jugheads anyway?
And here you are in my yard. Dogs are not allowed in my yard, ever. And do you know why?
No, it seemed a very strange law to me.
Because I saw what you did to my tomato plants, you oaf. And if I ever catch you in my garden again...
I didn't hang around for the threats. I shot one last glare at precious Kitty and ran for my life. Sally Mae just didn't understand. If she had only known about the attack of the bone monsters and the sausage death threat... Oh, well. Part of being a dog is learning to forgive. I was not shocked on finding Drover and Ralph asleep under the gas tanks. I gave them a rude awakening. A fine bunch of comrades you are, slipping away in the night and leaving me to be scorched by Sally Mae. What do you have to say for yourselves? Ralph staggered to his feet and gave his head a shake.
What I have to say is that I'm leaving. I never knew what a nice place the dog pound was till I came out here.
He started walking west towards the lake.
Bye, y'all. I'm going fishing.
Hey, Ralph, is that it? No thank yous or goodbye?
Thanks and goodbye. Blue cheese, buckshot, bone monster, baloney. A guy could get killed trying to sleep on this outfit.
Well, goodbye, old pal, old prison buddy. Come back again sometime. He disappeared from sight, and I turned an angry glare on Mr. Fanish. Drover, I hardly know what to say. Oh, good. Through all our years of service together. At that very moment, Drover was saved from a blistering lecture. Slim had just pulled up to the gas tanks in his pickup. He stuck the gas nozzle into his tank and gave us a big, lazy grin.
Morning, dogs. My pickup was down the fumes. I reckon I'd better finish my breakfast before Loafer starts shouting orders.
He reached in the window and pulled out an open can of... I stared at the can. Drover stared at the can. We exchanged long, thoughtful glances. He was eating Vienna sausage from a can. My mind raced back to the previous day. I was burying bones in the garden, right? Slim was there, watching me and making cute remarks about something about a backhoe, right? And he was a big joker, right? The pieces of the puzzle began. He popped a weenie into his mouth and grinned.
Have you checked on your bones, Hanky?
Huh? Okay, maybe we had... He thinks he's so funny. And sometimes I wish... Never mind. The important thing is that I have solved the mystery of the... Phooey. Case closed. And he didn't fool me with that business of the Vienna sausage can. Not for a minute. And don't forget who came up with the first report of the phony bone monster. It was Drover. I'd never believe that phony bone monster stuff. No kidding. Case closed forever this time. And don't go blabbing this around either.